introduced me, Tom Smith, and indeed that's who I am. I work for the Army Corps of Engineers, and even though this is a session on disease, insect, and weed management, agricultural systems, the military and the Army in particular has a lot of interest in topics in this category, be they agricultural or not. But the application of some of the things that I'm going to talk about here, I think, have pretty far-reaching, and they extend into agricultural systems, restoration systems, just ecological systems in general. The project and the effort that that I'm going to speak about here very briefly was really one that got started or had the impetus in what one of the earlier speakers talked about or mentioned as weed suppressive ability. And in the context of my presentation here, we kind of approached it or had started out from the avenue or from the thought process of native species suppressive ability on weeds. A little bit of a reverse, but conceptually, nonetheless, very much the same. As always, I'm not the only one involved in this. My involvement is extensive rather than intensive, probably. Angel Ferraro Serraro, which is now at the University at Liverpool in the UK, was principally involved with it, as were other folks from the University of Wyoming, Dr. Hill and Dr. Tim Collier, and Ryan Mueller with the Nature Conservancy. Militarily, it's similar to agricultural systems. I guess if you consider a tractor and a tank the same thing, but nonetheless, tanks, they do disturb a lot of landscape. Artillery is another form of a stressor through noise, concussion, temperature changes on vegetation. And last but not least, we have a number of chemical suppressors, in this case fog oil obscurant, which is used in battlefield conditions, which can be create toxic or at least stress situations on vegetation. All of these things tend to create situations where we want to restore or reestablish native vegetation, ideally on military training landscapes. Part and parcel to that, of course, is in addition to the disturbance there, trying to reestablish these things in the face of exotic invasives, Canada thistle in particular, a lot of the knapweeds and other species, depending on what part of the country you're found in, can be a real problem. So the interest from the military is one largely, but not exclusively, on trying to restore and manage these landscapes in somewhat natural but sustainable fashion, much like sustainable agriculture. The species that we're concerned about in this work are knapweeds and thistles. They're both Eurasian exotics, extensive roots, rapid growth, you know, lots of seed, very aggressive, hard to control, dense stands, allelopathic, require large amounts of you know, chemical or other infusions. They're not controlled by fire very well. A whole bunch of issues associated with their control, obviously. Problems are widespread, at least from an Army or from a military standpoint, and I say probably from a military standpoint somewhat loosely because it's one of a federal landscape problem. These are listed. Canada thistle, as I'm illustrated here, is listed as a noxious weed or has some sort of a legal thou shalt get rid of status in 40-some different states and multiple local jurisdictions. So for a federal land manager or a state land manager, a public land manager, there are some legal mandates there for the control of those types of species that are over and above what the private agricultural system manager might face. As I mentioned before, it's a problem for land managers, site restoration, rehabilitation, and agricultural systems. You know, anytime you have a disturbance, you have some sort of invasive weed that wants to come into it and or take over or otherwise compete with the vegetation that you want there. One of the things that's on the horizon, not so much on the horizon, it's been tried extensively for weed control, as I'm sure many, if not all of you know about, is various biological control agents. One of them that's been used for Canada thistle anyway is a stem boring weevil. Mixed success, probably more on the low side than any, as near as I can tell. But there's other agents out there also, seed head weevil and a couple of lepidopterans and so forth. This is the one that we focused on or used in this work, and you can see this here just shows damaged tissue from the stem boring and root boring, feces, normal parenchymal tissue, and you know, rest of the stem here. As I mentioned earlier, we were interested in native species competition with Canada thistle and or other weeds and how we might capitalize on those inherent native species traits to utilize them in controlling noxious and invasive weeds in military situations. Two of them that we chose and or focused on is alkali saccaton and needle and thread. One of them's cool season grass, needle and thread, and then the alkali saccaton, which is a warm season grass. Both of these are native species, common in many areas, especially in the Intermountain West, but with a larger distribution than that, obviously. I won't go into details of all the experiments or experimental design or anything, just to say that we had a greenhouse experiments. These are typical of those that you've seen before or would expect. Grew them in under controlled conditions, a controlled light, temperature, humidity, number of seeds per pot, and so forth. The focal point of it, though, was really looking at different genotypes of the native species, the alkali saccaton and the needle and thread, and we chose genotypes that had been exposed that we collected them from site from stands that had been exposed to previous invasions of Russian knapweed, and those are the experienced ones that we labeled or considered that here. And the inexperienced seeds were the ones, that, or propagules, were collected from sites that had not been previously invaded by knapweed. So knapweed was kind of the background stressor species, or the control species, invasive, if you will. Hey, we cleaned the seeds and grew them in growth chambers and so forth. In terms of measurements, we've taken above-ground biomass, below-ground biomass, number of tillers, and mortality. The above and below ground important, obviously, because plants grow differentially. You can have a lot more growth above or below ground, depending on the species, depending on the situation and growth traits and everything else. Sort of getting into the, you know, sort of the results, if you will, here a little bit. This shows the alkali saccaton grown alone, just the number of tillers. And the important thing here is probably the trends as much as anything. This one here, for example, the end, this shows the inside, the ones that are labeled here are the ones that were from inside knapweed invasions. In other words, they'd been previously exposed to knapweed. Well, those seeds and then that alkali saccaton produced a lot more tillers overall than those that had not been previously exposed. So this seems to indicate some sort of a natural selection that's going on here for those native types to compete with knapweed. Same sort of a trend here with the needle and thread, showing a little bit more competitive ability. Not quite so clear cut, but nonetheless still there. If you take those same genotypes in and grow them with Canada thistle, you get the same sort of results or the same phenomena. Greater number of tillers, if you will, for those that have previously been exposed to an invasive than those genotypes which had not. And with needle and thread, again, not so dramatic, but nonetheless still the same pattern. So if what we believe is happening here, those species that have been, those genotypes that are exposed to invasions are much more inclined to be resistant to subsequent invasions from other species, other noxious weeds, if you will. This is a root length of alkali saccaton genotypes in total. Again, it's probably a little bit over-dramatic, but it shows, again, the same trend. Those genotypes, total root length, that were from inside knapweed invasions as compared to those outside of invasions, the root length is dramatically, if not significantly, different. This table shows, or graph figure shows, the number of tillers of experienced and inexperienced alkali saccaton and needle and thread grown alone and with Canada thistle. Again, those plants, this one here, the Canada thistle and alkali saccaton, you can see the number of tillers was much greater than the number of tillers on the genotype. I'm having trouble moving the pointer, what had not been previously exposed. And the same thing with needle and thread. Kind of the same data, just showing it to you in a different format. This shows the biomass of experienced and inexperienced of the two alkali saccaton, needle and thread, the two native grass species grown alone and also with Canada thistle. The important point here probably is if you get inexperienced, in other words, that alkali saccaton which had not been exposed or previously had experience with as a genotype with knapweed had much less biomass than the alkali sacaton that had. The same thing here with needle and thread. This shows Canada thistle biomass, which is probably getting a little bit more to the point, but if you have Canada thistle biomass that's been or grown in conjunction with Spirobolus, the alkali sacaton that's been previously experienced, there's a significant reduction in Canada thistle biomass. This is what the A, B, C, D figures are letters are relating to here. A little bit different version, kind of the same sort of data again. Proportional change in tiller numbers of the native grasses from two communities of origin, the inside and outside, or experience and inexperience, compared to each other again. In other words, the greater number of tillers from invaded sites for needle and thread and for alkali sacaton also. This is kind of complex and there's a lot of data and information on here, but this is a maternal genotype, all genotypes of alkali sacaton from invaded and non-invaded sites compared with Russian thistle biomass. You can see that this particular genotype here had much greater biomass and much reduced Russian knapweed biomass than some of the others. So very definitely there are genotypic differences in native species here that allow them, some genotypes, to compete with invasives and others. Above and below ground biomass of the native grasses, again, with Canada thistle, under Canada thistle competition, and the stem boring weevil competition. This is probably the most important point of it right here. I got to take some notes to myself because these things are complex enough to read, but the alkali sacaton biomass here you can see is much greater in this particular situation, and this was inside plus thistle plus Spirobolus. Canada thistle biomass again, showing much the same pattern. You're getting considerably reduced Canada thistle biomass under certain types of grass competition, and this one here, it's both a combination of the two native grass species. And also in situations here where you had the insect plus the plus stipa. And again, above and below ground mass of Canada thistle in competition with weevils. Here we have thistle plus needle and thread plus the stem boring weevil. You can see the biomass is much reduced over thistle plus the insect alone. And more biomass again, different presentation on here. We had Canada thistle alone, and here we had Canada thistle grown in the presence of a needle and thread and the insect. Considerable amount of reduction in overall biomass. Anyway, a lot of information. I've run through it very quickly. Just to summarize where we are with this ongoing work right now, we've got a strong indication. We got into the native species, at least two we looked at in particular, if they have long-term exposures to one invasive, in our case Russian knapweed, then they can definitely show resistance to other invasions. New invaders plus their own or the baseline one that they were exposed to. The warm season competitor, again, the difference between warm season competition and cool season competition, I'm sure all of you are aware, by itself is more effective in reducing thistle growth. However, the cool season competitor, the needle and thread, used in combination with the stem boring weevil, was probably most effective at all. And these effects were additive I'm missing the word here. But there you go. Thank you. Rather than synergistic. But again, this is all preliminary, but nonetheless suggests that the combined control strategies can have a greater effect on systems and on weed control than just single ones alone, which is not necessarily anything new, but it does suggest we can use native species for some of this control in certain applications rather than have to rely on the artificiality of some of the control programs that we currently have. So thanks very much, and if I have time for a question,
no,
I'll...
I'm sorry. No time for questions, but we do have a break after this.
Thank you. Thank you.